If you are downtown, we call it the historic district. When we lived there in Copperas Cove, right down from the high school on about 3rd Street-ish, and you turn the corner, right around the corner, there's a guy named Earl, and Earl will sell you a lawnmower. Now, his lawnmowers, he would put kind of on the edge of the sidewalk, but then the great, nice people from Copperas Cove code enforcement told him he couldn't do that because that constituted a business. And so he's got to, has to kind of have him like a little bit closer to his house. But what he does is he takes lawnmowers, and you can give him one, or he'll buy yours off of you, and then he'll take and he'll get the parts out of one and put it in another, and he just makes a little bit of business doing that. And it's like new when he's finished with it. So if you see Earl, tell him Timbo sent you, bring cash, and he will take care of you, and it'll be a nice lawnmower. But wouldn't it be cool if you, like, mowed your lawn, if you mow your lawn? I have 4 sons, so I don't mow my lawn. I pay them to do that, so I don't have to do it. Anyway, so that if you mowed your lawn, and then the next time you mowed your lawn, you came out and your lawnmower was brand new, full of gas, didn't need to be or have an oil change or anything on it. Just every year and every time it would be like that. Or wouldn't it be cool if you bought a new car and every time you got in it, every single morning, it was full of gas and it didn't have to have the oil changed and it smelled like a new car. In fact, they sell you the little trees that have the new car smell, or you can spray it in your car. It's that new car smell. I don't know what that's like. I always buy used and let somebody else deal with the depreciation, et cetera, but that's what I do. But wouldn't it be cool? It would be even cooler is if you could wake up in the morning like you and you don't have to hit the snooze button because you're fully rested, because you didn't have aches and pains all night, and every morning you were brand spanking new. Although don't do the spanking part, that's brutal. Wouldn't it be cool if you could do that? This is the kind of body, honestly, that the scriptures, that the Bible is talking about. That we talked about it last week, that we are going to get a body, those with faith in Christ, those that have placed themselves in the Son of God in Christ, we will have a new body, a resurrected body. So our souls are separated from our bodies. And then at the end, and there's a great deal of discussion about exactly when, before the 7 years of tribulation, after the 7 years of tribulation, after the millennium. Oh, but the millennium is just a figurative thing. Whatever. We can all have those discussions and argue about those different things, but we all agree there is a resurrection at the end. And our bodies, our dead bodies, unless we're still alive, our dead bodies reunite with our souls, but it is a resurrected, it's a new body, as it was intended to be to begin with, an eternal living body with God forever. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about what this is. And the Bible calls it, and it's in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, calls it a mystery. But when we talk about mysteries, we think about things that nobody knows, and you know, the detectives try to figure it out, or Columbo comes along, ah, one more question, yeah, whatever. And we come up with it, or Agatha Christie, whoever, they come up with it. And every TV show, just about, that's not a weird reality thing. By the way, they've always had reality TV. It's called sports. You can watch those if you want to. You don't know the outcome yet. It's reality TV. But anyway, we watch these things. When the Bible is talking about a mystery, it's talking about something that was hidden but now revealed. So it's kind of like a mystery, but not the same. It was hidden but now revealed. Specifically, in this, we're talking about the resurrection. Now, the resurrection is not a new concept, new doctrine, new teaching, not different, not new, but this is a detail. Do we say detail or detail? Good, okay, that's good. Because I'm from Arkansas, we say detail. This is a detail that we're getting to be able to see. So let's read along here, and that's what the mystery is. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Now, this is a running joke for the nursery in Sunday school, and they paste it up on the wall. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. So, hilarious little thing. It just, whatever. When it's talking about sleep, it's talking about dying, our physical death. It says, but we will all be changed, and that's the word for transformed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, see, we were doing that long before Santa Claus. He just stole it from us at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. If you've ever heard Handel's Messiah over Christmas, that is one of the arias or one of the sonata things that they do. All right, it's a quote from the Old Testament. We'll be raised incorruptible, imperishable. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. So the dead body, perishable, must clothe itself with the imperishable, that which is permanent, that which is not dead. The mortal with immortality. You with me? When the perishable, dead body, dead thing, has been clothed with the imperishable, resurrected body, eternal thing, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Again, a quote from the Old Testament. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we could wake up every morning brand new? Wouldn't it be cool if you could wake up every morning and you were, I don't even know what age we're going to be. People argue about that too. Oh, we're going to be 33. Oh, we're going to be, I don't know. I don't care. I know that I'm going to be waking up and I'm not going to be older than I was. And I'm going to wake up and I'm not going to be in aches and pains and all that kind of stuff, and I might not even snore. It's very possible that that will be part of the program, and won't we all be happy when that is not the case, right? Wouldn't it be neat? You know, I'm thinking when we go on Tucson mission trip that we used to have, like you here in this bedroom, Brian, hold on for just a second, guys. We used to have you in this bedroom and me in this bedroom. So I'm thinking, I'm going to be in this bedroom and I'm going to put you on the other side of the house this time. Wouldn't it be cool, though, if we didn't have, this is what it's talking about, a resurrected body as our bodies were intended to be to begin with. But what's the power of sin? It's death. So our disobedience to God, our rebellion against God, our crimes against the throne of God brought death into our world. And so we die. Things die. The earth is in decay. Tornadoes happen. They call them acts of God. And I guess in a sense it's true because God allowed and God cursed the world and sent it into decay. But actually we sent it into decay. Because Adam brought that into the world, now we have death. But because of Christ, forgiveness of sin, He conquered death there. He overcame death there. He forgave our sins there. He provided for our redemption on the cross. And then through the resurrection, He burst through the gates, so to speak, of heaven. And He is the first fruits, the first one of a resurrected body, which He already has, that He ushered us in. Now He ushers us into heaven behind Him. But we have this thing that we have death and our souls are with Him. But in the end, not yet, but in the end, our bodies will be resurrected. Now there's two different types of things. We're just getting into theology lately. Are you okay with it? All right. If you're not, I guess, you know, you can go to the Presbyterian church or something. But anyway, I like the Presbyterians. I'm just joking. but So we either have our dead bodies, and then the end comes, and our dead bodies are resurrected, reunited with our souls. But what does it say about our bodies? They're perishable, and they must clothe itself with the imperishable. The perishable has been clothed with the imperishable. So this body reunited, but also a resurrected body. What kind of body? We'll not all sleep, but we will all be changed, all transformed. So our bodies resurrected together, and we have this resurrected body, this new body, this brand new body that stays brand new every day, forever and ever. Now, what about those that are still around? What about those who are not dead? The end comes. Christ returns. He's bringing things back into order. And when we say that, it sounds like really cool. Oh, Jesus is coming back and all kinds of awesome stuff. But if you'll read through the book of the Revelation to John, you'll see that all of these things, the world goes into rapid decay toward the end, extreme decay, kind of toward the end. And it's really awful to say this, but if you've ever seen somebody die, they like hang on and hang on, and then there's a really rapid decline at the end for some people that die. The earth is similar to that. It goes into massive chaos, and you can read about it in the Revelation. And all of the nations gather together to defy and to overthrow and to eliminate Christ. And he comes and he returns and he conquers this evil. And it says the blood is all over his robe and all kinds of things. And the hosts of heaven are with him. You can read about that, or you can go back. And we studied it last year in the book of the Revelation. But it's an awful time. It's a difficult time. But after that, evil is conquered. Evil is eliminated. And then he comes to reign on earth. And then the enemy is loosed for a period of time during that 1,000 years. And then death is completely eliminated, the devil gone, and all that good stuff. Again, we talked about that last week. So here we are. But this is the time when our bodies, our resurrected bodies, begin. And then there's a new heaven and a new earth. And that's how we live. Now, those of us who are still around during this period of time. Some say it's before the 7 years of tribulation. Some say it's after the 7 years of tribulation. If you want to know where I stand on it, I don't stand too firm on any of it. But I'm thinking it's probably at the end, and I'm hoping I'm wrong because I don't like what happens in those 7 years. But if we're still here, it says we will be caught up. And some people call this the rapture. This is when we're caught up. So those that are dead first will rise, resurrected body, and those who remain, we are caught up. So we won't all die, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. It says we're transformed into this resurrected body, and we don't have to die. Now, wouldn't it be cool if we could experience that right now? Well, we're in a situation right now where in the not quite yet. We're in the not yet of experiencing this kind of body. We're in the stage where our bodies are dying. Our bodies are headed. We're in the land of the dead, really. And headed toward the land of the living, if we're in Christ. But we're in the land of the dead. And so we await for this. In fact, the Bible says all of creation groans or longs for this time. And as you kind of get older, and I'm 40 now, so I'm experiencing some of these things. As you get a little bit older, you have a couple of things. At least at my age, there's some tension. There's this tension of I'm young enough to, like, you know, really go and get after some things or whatever, but I'm old enough to where I'm like, I'm a little tired too. So it's like, so when I'm in my 20s and 30s, you know, you're conquering the world, you're climbing mountains because they're there, and they're just because they're there. And now when you're my age, you kind of get a little bit more purposeful. You know, you look at a mountain and say, all right, that I could climb that, but why? You know, but when you're 20, you just say, it's there. I'm going to do it, you know. So you have kind of that, and you have some aches and some pains. You have some hurts and some wounds and some scars that you've experienced over the years, and you begin to look toward the end. Right now, I'm looking at, what am I going to do with the next 25 years of my life to make a difference, to make an impact in my world? So, you know, that's where I am kind of in my world. But I'm looking forward toward a day when this is over and it's done. And I can rest and wait for this cool brand new body that I'm looking toward. Now, don't end it early. Don't be stupid or anything like that. I'm just saying, the life is great. Life is wonderful. Let's live it. But there is an eternity to be experienced. So we begin to long for that, for those of us who know Christ. Wouldn't it be cool, though, inside you, in your soul, inside this body, the real you, the real who you are? Because we're not our physical bodies. We're not separated from ourselves. In fact, that's very important. Jesus says, this whole physical thing, you can't separate yourself from your physicalness in this world anyway. So, but wouldn't it be cool in the real part of you if you could wake up brand new every day? Wouldn't it be cool if, even though you have the guilt and the shame of having done wrong, having done immoral things, having done things against God or rebelled against God or being disconnected from God, wouldn't it be cool if you could be fully connected to God? And wouldn't it be cool if in your soul you could have complete peace because you're reconciled completely to God? Wouldn't it be cool if you could live a brand new, with a brand new spirit, and it could be like you'd never sinned, at least in God's eyes and in what you're experiencing in your soul? This is what the scriptures are talking about. In fact, it is only those people who have experienced that get to experience the physical resurrection as well. And that's the harsh part of it. I don't know what we're doing, but it's awesome. All right. So, right in the middle, now I've got to hold on. The train just derailed. It was like really using my brain there. So wouldn't it be cool if we could experience complete and total peace because we'd never sinned? Even though we had, we're made brand new. Wouldn't it be cool if we could walk with God like Adam and Eve walked with God before they rebelled against Him? That's what the scriptures are describing. You can experience heaven on earth in that sense. Now, this earth is not like heaven. The world, the way we do things, is not like heaven. My body, as cute as I am, is not heavenly, you know. We don't have that. Ooh, heaven is not a place on earth. It's a stupid song. It's kind of catchy, though. But we can experience what God intended for us to experience. In fact, He intends for us to experience it now. You don't have to wait till you're in heaven to be right with God, to be one with God, to be at peace with God. In fact, here's what the scriptures tell us. When we put our faith in Christ, when we place our faith in Christ, God gives us, puts in us the Holy Spirit, God Himself. It says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? That means our bodies are inhabited by the Holy Spirit. You're possessed, but in a good kind of way, okay? Not a freaky demonic kind of way. You're possessed by God. God lives inside of you. It says, what? This love that Jesus showed us on the cross, this resurrection that in which He overcame sin and He brought about this possibility for us in the end. All of this love, all of this thing, it says, I'm making all things new. I'm making you new. You are a new creation. When you come to Christ, He puts His Spirit in you. It's as if, though, you've never sinned. Not because you haven't, because we have. But God sees us. And when He looks at us, because we have taken on the Son, Jesus stands between. And all God sees is not our sin, but all He sees is His Son. And we can know Him, and He can live with us. And we are made a new creation. Literally, you get a new soul. You don't have a new body yet, but you have a new soul. You have a renewed soul. And you're awakened to who Christ is. You're awakened to who God is. You're no longer dead, but you're alive. You're no longer dead to God, but you're alive to Him. And He lives in you. You're a new person, and you're a new creation. Now, do you keep sinning from time to time? Yeah. But wouldn't it be great if every time you screwed up and messed up, instead of having to do penance and all kinds of other things, you could just run back to your Father and say, "Forgive me." Can we reconnect? Can we reunite? It's not that you're going to lose your salvation. It's not that you're going to lose your standing with God, because your standing with God is not dependent on you. It's simply that you put your faith in Him. You put your trust in Him. And so He does for you what you can't do for yourself. All these people trying to earn things and trying to do things, trying to accomplish things. And it sounds like a wonderful thing, aren't they? You know, self-sacrificial and all that kind of thing. But ultimately, it's just pride. They're still trying to do in themselves something to get to God, and you can't do something to get yourself to God. It's something that you surrender. You fall on His mercy. You know you can't do it on your own. And that is not a very good American thing to say, but it is what is required by God for you. And He makes you a new person and a new creation. And it wouldn't be cool that when you messed up, you could just run to the Father. You're still His child. You always were. But you can reconnect with Him. And it can be like you're brand new all over again. Wouldn't it be cool? Well, the Bible tells you, the Scriptures tell you, what God has offered to you and what Jesus has accomplished tells you it's not just cool. This is not something you can imagine. It is something you can experience. It is something that I experience. It's something that others here experience. Why? Because we're great people? No. Because of what God has done and what Jesus has done. What are you? You're a new creation. He's making all things new. And He begins by making you new. And when you're made new, that time comes toward the end. You know what? You'll still be new. You'll be resurrected. You'll be all eligible and ready. And the promise is already made to you. You have all that Christ offers you. Is that what we're talking about? It's kind of funky theology. And it is a different kind of worldview. But it's what the Scriptures are teaching us. There was an intended creation. There was an intended way for it to be. And yeah, we humans messed it up. But Jesus came and He turned it all back around by His body, His blood, the cross, by His life. And then He ushers us into a resurrected life, sends us the Holy Spirit to literally live inside of us now so that we can be made brand new in Him. And we await for a wonderful day when not only our souls are brand new, but a new creation in us now, but also our bodies, and then a new heaven and a new earth, and reversed it and redeemed it and made it all as it should be with people who have chosen to be God's people. That's the story of the Bible, guys. That is the whole funky message. And it is offered to you. And this is the thing. You receive it. And listen, believer, you receive it. And this is how you live it. You don't live it by continued effort, keeping the law, keeping the morals, all that kind of thing. You live it by living in Christ. And then you will fulfill the morals and things like that. And we let God live in us and through us. But it's not outside in, it's from the inside, the Spirit of God living out in us. And then we see who we can be. And we fulfill our potential as people. And we bring others into the family along with us. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite you to bow your head and pray with me here for just a moment. And if you haven't transferred your trust, your faith from yourself into Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it. Guys, it's a simple prayer, but it's not a magic prayer. It's a simple talk with God, but it is not manipulation. It is a simple statement to God of your trust and your faith in Him, but it is not religious or ceremonial. It is you from your sincere, surrendered heart to Him, just speaking. There's no specific words. It's a matter of your heart. But I will lead you in a prayer here, and I want to invite you to know Him as your Lord, as your Savior, even right now. And He will put His Spirit in you. You don't have to wait. You're not going to start speaking in tongues and do crazy stuff immediately or whatever. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about you and God personally knowing Him, Him living in you. So I invite you to pray. Say, Lord, I need you. Jesus, I do believe you are the Son of God. I do believe you died for my sins. I do believe you rose again from the dead. I believe you're at the right hand of the Father now, ready to rule. And I ask you to rule my life. I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to be my forgiver, my Savior. And I ask you to lead my life as best I know. I just surrender myself to you right now to be my leader, or what some call be my Lord. So I ask now, if you would give me your gift of salvation, I receive it by faith and trust in you, and I thank you for fulfilling your promise in me. No feelings, no dramatic anything, just you and me, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit, and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you for making me brand new, a new creation. And now, Father, for those of us who have prayed that prayer right now, and those of us who have received you as Lord and Savior, we await a great time when we're physically renewed and we're physically changed. And we thank you for the promise, and we thank you for providing all of that. We look forward to it. But in this meantime, Lord, you live in us, and what a gift it is. And we want to know you more, and we want to love you more. We want to experience you more. So just by faith, the same faith that we came to you to begin with, we trust you right now. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to guide us. And we surrender ourselves to you all over again. And Lord, we want to live by your Spirit. We want to walk in your Spirit. We want to know who you are. Make us all that you intended us to be, because you are in us and living through us. In Jesus' name, amen.